So none of you who spent the week working through the Sugyas, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, and some of you started working on the tour. Resh Pei test takes us through how to put up the mezuzah, and almost essentially all the se'ifim in Resh Pei, all the six se'ifim, are represented over the course of that blot of Gemara, not necessarily in the same order. So just overviewing, Resh Pei test takes us through first the bracha, the Sif Aleph, we'll take a look at that in a moment, and then it talks about where and how and when. Sif Beis is a question of where you put the mezuzah, all three dimensions, how high, how deep, which side. And Sif Gimel continues over more complex cases of which side, left and right. Sif Daled moves to the how, in terms of how you install it, which in a sense is the opening Gemara on Beis and Beis Vakla B'Makal, and sort of taking that and running with that. Sif Hey is about when you put it up, which is the Tas of Lam and Asur Shailam. And finally, Sif Vav is more about position and more a question of orientation. I have a vertical versus horizontal versus at a diagonal. That's not the siman, that's just the table of contents of the siman. But let's dive in. And I know different guys are up to different places in terms of working through the sugya, so luckily Sif Aleph really is a little bit independent of that. So we'll take a look at Sif Aleph, a lot of both specific mezuzah issues and global archaim issues, and then we'll see how far we get beyond that as well. I want to be sensitive to time and to maintaining most of today for Seder. So let's take a, let's begin. Sif Aleph, so Shulchan Aruch tells us, in Sif Aleph, so you're going to put up mezuzah, again, Shulchan Aruch is working off of going al HaSeder, Resh Pei Vav, Resh Pei Zayin, we're talking about whether you put up mezuzah, which doors, which rooms are chayav mezuzah. And then Resh Pei Ches was how to write a mezuzah. So now everything is ready for actually doing. We're up to the kriyas of mezuzah. Bala kava. So Shulchan Aruch says, sort of like very sequential here. And now you're coming to put it up. Now that you've figured out where to put it up and you've written it, now you're going to put it up. So it says you put it in a case. Yanechen b'shofer shalkana shalkaldavar, whether it's wood or any other type of case. You put it in the right place. We'll have to talk in a moment in the Sif Beis, where's the right place? And you make a bracha l'gvav mezuzah below yivarech b'shas tzivasa. And you don't make a bracha when you write the mezuzah, reish peches. Make a bracha when you attach the mezuzah, reish peches. So right away the Shulchan Aruch is reminding us the Gemara Masech Sukkah that you make a bracha on the Gemara Siyasa, you make a bracha, in other words, on the actual Maisa Mitzvah rather than on the Heksha Mitzvah. The Netziv very famously points out, it's after all a little bit, almost in Yana Dioma, Netziv famously wrote an extensive Perush, it's hard to even call it Perush, it's larger than the Sefer itself, wrote an extensive Sefer, Al Gabe, printed around and below, the Shi'iltos. Shi'iltos was the first post-Talmudic halachic sefer. It's written by one of the early to mid Gaonim, Vachoy. And he wrote on Al Seder HaParshios one or two or three halachic topics that relate to each parsha. And then at the very end, after he gets through all of Chumash, he has a couple of pieces of Shi'iltos at the end about the Yom Tovim of Tisha. So Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, Sukkot. So the Netziv near the end talks. I believe it's in the one of the Shi'iltos on Sukkot. The Netziv in his Hamek She'ela gets involved in this question of brachas on Hechsher and Mitzvah. Netziv that is part of a larger conversation Netziv has there about the status of Hechsher Mitzvah in general. Well, how significant is the preparation for a Mitzvah like Mezuzah? You write a mezuzah, the right mezuzah is a necessary prerequisite to the mitzvah, which is kviyas mezuzah. So I'm going to harvest a little vinesher, or I'm going to build a sukkah, or I'm going to catch a ram and succeed in getting its shofar. Or I'm going to print a siddur, I'm going to print a sefer. So what's the status of hechsher mitzvah? Since siv is a beautiful maracha there, he develops the idea with many nafkaminas. Perhaps some of you heard Rav Shechter speak about this in the past. Four or five or six nafkaminas. Netziv thinks there are that that certain types of hechsheri mitzvah are quasi mitzvahs. He thinks that hechsher mitzvah that appears in the Chumash should have semi mitzvah status, like making a sukkah. The Chumash speaks about making a sukkah. The Chumash speaks about tying tzitzis. The Chumash speaks about writing a mezuzah. The understanding is it's not the point isn't just to write it, the point isn't to attach it, but the heksha mitzvah comes of the Torah. So the Tziv points out the Yerushalmi more than the Bavli seems to ascribe some degree of mitzvah status, a partial mitzvah status, if it's a heksha mitzvah that appears in the Chumash. So maybe we should say mitzvah bo yosum v'shlucho. Maybe the significance is not only to obviously have to sit in my own sukkah, I have to sit in a sukkah myself. Can't ask you to sit in a sukkah for me. Can I ask you to build a sukkah for me? So the Tzibs thinks maybe it would be ideal to at least participate in the building of the sukkah yourself, so on and so forth. So that's also a question, should there be some sort of bracha when you tie tzitzit, should there be some sort of bracha when you write a mezuzah maybe? Halacha l'maisa, we do not accept that. The Bavli is very clear, you do not make a bracha on the heksher mitzvah, even if it's kasev the Torah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch reflects here. And the Ramah quotes a din. And the parentheses, by the way, are not the Mar Makomos in the parentheses are not the Ramah. Someone who lives somewhat after the Ramah who added Mar Makomos. But here it happens to be, so you can't, credit or blame the Ramah for the Mar Makomos. Every once in a while that's relevant. But here it happens to be, it says, Beis Yosef, name of the Truvas Harashba. And indeed, you open the Beis Yosef, it quotes from the Truvas Harashba. That's it. That's the end of the trail Beis Yosef gives us. And it's true, there's in Dark Moshe as well. What does Rabbi say? Koveh bezo gimel mezuzos mevarech bracha achas l'kulam. You put up two or three mezuzos, you only make one bracha. And indeed, if you open a Beis Yosef, you'll see, as some of you already saw, that the Rajba writes exactly that way it should. Open up the Rajba, and that's what he says. It's good to follow the paper trail. That's what the Rajba says. You put up multiple mezuzos, you only make one bracha. But if the Vilna Gaon points out there is an earlier source, which the Rashba presumably was aware of. Rashba in the Tshuva doesn't give the makar. Okay, but Mistama, this is what was in the back of his mind. Take a look at the bottom of the Be'er Agra. Be'er Agra's job is to give you the sources for Shulchan Aruch. And as we discussed last time, Shulchan Aruch is really meant to be the last line of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, it gives you the whole, it presents the whole sugya, and then Shulchan Aruch, it gives you the bottom line. So where that when Zohar learned Tur Beis Yosef, then Shulchan Aruch, so he sort of puts things into perspective. If all you have is a Shulchan Aruch, so you're missing a lot of context. The Be'er HaGolah on the side, who I believe was the great grandfather of the Vilna Gaon, and then later the Vilna Gaon himself, try to work on giving you sort of restoring, telling you where to find things. So a lot of times the Be'er HaGolah and the Be'er HaGra are just giving you sources that you would find yourself if you open the Beis Yosef. If you don't have a Beis Yosef, instead of paying Shulchan Aruch, they'll tell you where to look. The Gemara here, Tosas here, Rambam here. Every once in a while, though, they're giving you specifically the Be'er HaGra will give you Mar Makomos that you wouldn't find just by looking through Beis Yosef. And here is an example. I'm sorry, not everyone has a Shulchan Aruch. I apologize. I should have thought of that in advance. If you have a Shulchan Aruch in front of you, see, so take a look in the Be'er HaGra, Se'ev Katan Beis. Again, we're in Resh Beites Sif Aleph. Sif Katan Beis. No, I'm sorry, not Sif Katan Beis. Sivkat and Dal, thank you. Tosefta Parag Basar de Brachas. It tells you, you look in the Tosefta, in the last parag, I think there are six parakim of Tosefta on Brachas. In the last parag, there's a chunk about Birkas and Mitzvahs. We have a series of halachas in the last parag of Tosefta Brachas, the Birkas and Mitzvahs. And one of the things Tosefta tells you there is that if you're doing multiple mitzvahs, different mitzvahs, I'm putting on talis, I'm putting on tefillin, and so on and so forth. So we pass, and I believe there is one time in Rav Shimon who says you make a sort of a generic al ha-mitzvos. We don't pass in that way. We make a separate bracha on the talis and the tefillin. Maybe even we would say shayyad shalosh. But if you're doing multiple iterations of the same mitzvos, the Tosefta says, then you make, as we know, you make multiple brachas. It comes up all the time. We don't. Most Jews don't put on more than one pair of tzitzis. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, I assume, made one bracha and then put on all the pairs of tzitzis. A mitzvah that we do multiple iterations of is, let's say, bedikas chametz. Let's say I'm doing multiple I have to do a bedikas chametz on the house and on the car, maybe on the drive a mile away to the office, to the store, whatever it is, even within the house, there are multiple rooms. Bedikas chametz in each one, but I make one, assuming there's not going to be a lengthy hefsek, I make one albir chametz, and it covers everything. On Hilchos Shechita, they talk about it. Beginning of the Ardei, Achel Galv, having a shecht 100 animals, 100 birds, to make one ala shechita, and that, again, assuming there isn't a very significant hefsek, that's going to cover all of them. So that's going to be true here as well. That's going to be true here as well. You put up multiple mezuzahs, so you make one bracha and you cover all of them. This is actually very important. It's very important for the following reason. Number one, often you put up multiple mezuzahs. You're moving into a new place, you put up all the mezuzahs at the same time. It's important to realize you only make one bracha. And it's also important to recognize you need to be strategic. As we'll see when we get back to Resh Pei Vav and Resh Pei Zayin, there are cases where you're chayav mezuzah, there are cases where you're not chayav mezuzah, there are many cases where it's a suffix whether or not you're chayav mezuzah. Machlokas are rishon. For instance, the Rambam holds that based on a Gemara that you saw, the Rambam holds that you're not chayav mezuzah on a doorway that has no door. You saw that Gemara in Lamedil and Alf. Right, Rav Nachman, Reish Galusa calls Rav Nachman, asks Rav Nachman to come in and take care of his mezuzahs. Not just telling you where to put them up. Right, so Rav Nachman says, it's too early. Flee Dashi Reish. I got to put up the doors first. What do you mean, got to put up the doors first? The three approaches we show into what that means. Either that means, if they put up the doors first, because otherwise we won't know which way is right, which way is left. That's one approach. Another approach is that they had the door frame, not just the doors, the door frames were not yet attached. I could put if it's still in the shop, it's sitting on a workbench, flat, the door frame on its side, we could nail, you could nail and screw in the mezuzahs, but that would be tassel omen osi because the door frame is not yet attached to the house. Or there's approach number three, which is out of the Rambam. He says, no, it means the house is constructed, just the door itself wasn't hung. But Rambam says, you can't put mezuzahs yet because you're not tassel omen osi. You're not chayv mezuzah until the doors are up. Even though the door frame is attached, but there's no door. And that leads Rambam to believe that in general, you have a doorway without a door. Even a door is not meant to have a door. It's not chayv mezuzah. So hagabi atzmacha. This classic situation would be moving to a new house, gather the family together around the dining room table, say, kids, we're going to put in mezuzah, it's very exciting, it should be very exciting, Baruch Hashem is very exciting, and you're going to dad's going to make the bracha, look, well, mezuzah, nail in the mezuzah, the beautiful Jerusalem stone mezuzah to the doorway between living room and dining room, and then we'll spread it through the house and put up all the other mezuzahs, less dramatic mezuzahs in less places. In less dramatic mezuzahs in other places around the house. Which the problem with that picture is that the doorway between living room and dining room is beautiful, but it's a machlokes rishonim whether it's chayav mezuzah at all or not, because there's no door. You remember, you don't have a door on the door between the living room and dining room. According to most rishonim, you're chayav. According to Rambam, you're absolutely patur mezuzah there. There's no chayav mezuzah whatsoever. Whereas the den in the back or the bedroom upstairs, the kid's bedroom upstairs, it's not going to get such a fancy, beautiful mezuzah case, but it's mamish chayav mezuzah all days. So the significance of this line in the Ramah, you're only making one bracha. So you want to structure, you want to sequence them properly. You want to start with a door that's vaday chayav, and you'll make a bracha there. And then you're only making one bracha anyhow. Even if all 15 doorways are chayav, all you need is one bracha. So now that's the way you're going to solve all of your suffix cases. If all these cases which are suffix whether you're chayiv or not, suffix derayis l'chumra, we're going to put up a mezuzah, but we wouldn't want to make a bracha. So the way to avoid the problem is Tosa says in other situations is Tosa on tefilas kelim the end of avodah zarah. Tosa says you have a kli which is a suffix whether you're chayiv and tefilah or not. So you have to tovel mi suffix. We can't make a bracha mi suffix. The Tosa says, you'll have to tovel out a bracha, but better would be tovel it together with something else, which is vaday chayv. I have a aluminum pan, the machlok is whether aluminum is chayv and tefillah or not, or I have a kli that I'm not sure if it was ever owned by a non-Jew since it was manufactured. So it's chayv in tefillin misafek. Good, but I have something else that's chayv vaday. So make a bracha on that and cover this. So that's the approach you take here as well. So we would say, don't start by with the living room. Start with the kids' bedroom upstairs. It's dal al dalet. It's used for real dira. It has a door. It has a door with doorposts. It has the whole nine yards. Chayv l'chaladeis. That's the way to go. You make a bracha over there. That's by the chayv. And then we put up all the other mezuzahs. And all the other mezuzahs we put up, if indeed that place is chayv, is covered by the bracha you made and the kids' bedroom. If it's not chayv, so then no problem. No concern of a suffix bracha batala, because you already made the bracha on a place with a location which is Vadei Chayiv. There are several other issues that come up in the world of the Birkas HaMitzvah of Mezuzah. So one issue is, and this comes up in different scenarios, the Pischei Tshuva here, Sifkat and Aleph, so he quotes a discussion that the Chida has. Birkei Yosef, Lashon Limudin, I believe are both swarmed by the Chida. Im Heser HaMezuzah Levodka, the very first line of Pischei Tshuva here at the bottom left. Shulchan Aruch, your day in particular, was printed by the same Vilna printers that printed the Vilna Shas. That's where the fonts look familiar. If you open up a different... if you have an old Shulchan Aruch like me, the new ones, everything was redone anyways. But the old Shulchan Aruch like this, this is printed in Vilna, the same Vilna printed in the Shas, that's why the font is the same. You open up other Arachayim, I believe Arachayim, Evan Ezra, Chorosh Mishpat, do not look the same, because they were done, I think, in, forget, Zhitomir, somewhere else. But this is this font that you recognize, that's the Vilna font. So it's fundamentally, it's the same layout as the Gemara. You have right, the Taz and Rashi position, the Shach and Tosas position. But there's so many Achronim they wanted to fit in the page, and as Shulchan was printed again and again, there were more and more Achronim that wanted to fit in the page, so it's like a Gemara set up plus. You have Rashi position, Tosas position, but then all the Achronim at the bottom. So the Chachu usually ends up at the bottom. I have Eisenstadt, Yekesh Rav from like 200 years ago or so, and he gives you, the Chachu gives you incredibly brief summaries of the tshuva literature from post Shulchan Aruch until his time. It's a magnificent, it's a masterpiece. He manages to, especially when you look back at the tshuva, he will take a 3, 4, 5, 10 page tshuva in the Rebbe Yehuda and like cut it down to like 3 lines. Obviously, there's a lot that he left out, but his ability, his capacity to sort of give you the gist of it, it's incredible. It's really, really incredible. So he writes here, and he always sort of like, why broadens the bandwidth of learning Shulchan Aruch. Well, many more cases to think about. So he says right here, you're making a bracha, well, have a haster a mezuzah levodka, but daito lach so kama. Let's just take a mezuzah down to check it. We'll get the details of checking mezuzah and simreish tayal. You take it down, you check it, and let's say it passes the test. You took it, you looked at it, now you're going to put up a new one, okay, so you have to make a new bracha. But no, you took it down, checked it, it's fine. Let's put it back up. You make a new bracha. Yesh lehistapek, and yivarach kishachozer ukva. That's the shayla, whether you have to make a new bracha, and he's quoting this from a secondary source. Pitzchei Tshuva says, I don't have the original tshuva in front of me, but I'm not sure. Pitzchei Tshuva points out, it should be like Pasha Taliso. What's a din hilchos tzitzis? You take off your talis, you put it back on. You take off your talis and you put it back on. So that's what the Pischei Tshuva says. He thinks it should be the same. And that's the Chovos Hadar writes as well. If you want, you can take a look. It's in footnote Chapei in Perek Yudalf. That the din by talis is that you only have to make a bracha if either it was an extensive shahiyah that was down, or if I take off my tie, I take off my tzitzis, let's say to go swimming, and I put it back on 3 hours later, so I make a new bracha. Good. But if it was a brief, I took off my tzitzis 15 minutes, take a shower, and I put it back on, so I don't make a bracha. However, the following doesn't really come up with a talis katan, but it could come with a talis gadol. Let's say it slipped off. it slipped off, and I realized, and I scooped it off the floor. Seconds later, I put it back on. Then you have to make a new bracha. If you took it off the kavana to take it off and put it back on, then there's no new bracha. But if it slipped off on its own, then there is a new bracha, even if it was off for seconds. So that's what the Pesachei Teshuva writes here. That's a good question. I don't think, I mean, you have to have known originally. I put it on top of the Shacharis.
Does
that
mean that I know that if I'm going to use the restroom, I'm going to take it off? Or does it mean that I'm taking it off right now with Kavanah?
Yeah, no, I think it just means right now. Like, yeah, I when I put on the towels, I didn't think I was going to need to stop to use the bathroom. But it turns out, in the middle of davening, I do need to. Okay. Right. But I took it off the Kavanah. Because I took it off intentionally, knowing to put it back on, as opposed to it just slid.
We assume that this is with tefillin, though. That mezuzah is like tefillin. With tefillin, whenever you take it off, you have to say it when you put it back on.
I don't think so. If you took it off to use the bathroom extensively, so since it was usher to keep the tefillin on, then that counts as absent. But if I took off the tefillin for a minute, someone's machmir not to talk in tefillin at all. So he took off a tefillin for a minute to tell someone something important and put it back on. That's legitimate. So it wasn't Easter Gomer to have the tefillin, to have kept the tefillin on. If you took it off the kavanah and you put it right back on a minute later, I don't think you make it in a bracha. So the Pesachei Teshuva points out. So he says, Yesh lehis tapek, he points out, interesting question. You take a mezuzah down to check it.
Yeah, then you suffer whether it's kosher.
Oh, so he says, maybe you're not, I'm not sure if I'm going to put it back up. Maybe I'll discover that it's rotten and we have to get a new one. That's what he writes. He's trying to reconstruct what was the chidah shai. He says, maybe that was the chidah shai. Why would it be different than the talos? Oh, how could the havi al maybe he was now al das lachzar l'kavar. I'm not sure if I'm going to put it back on. Shami yimatzei pasul. L'chein is topic. He says, okay. Maybe that was a suffix, but he points out also, if the mezuzah falls, which sometimes, achman, it's not happened, that the mezuzah falls down. As you show up, you find the mezuzah on the floor. Find the mezuzah on the floor, you don't know how long it was down. I say, I saw it falling. I saw it coming off, and I ran, and I did make it in time. I made it in time to catch it, Baruch Hashem, but it came up, it got detached. So even though it was off for a matter of seconds, but if it fell off on its own, I didn't take it off. So then, even if it was very brief, you're mechayiv to make a new bracha. It does come up, hopefully rarely, but it does come up occasionally. It does come up occasionally that it comes off on its own, so then why they have to make a bracha regardless of the length of time. If I took it down, and I intended to put it back up, so then you don't have to make a new bracha unless it's really down for a very long time. I think the Chovas Hadar assumes that we should assume that most poskim assume, like the Pesachei Teshuva's Pashtus, that although it's interesting, Shaila Ba'ai, I knew it might be possible, the Maisa most of the time is not possible. And if it turns out to not be possible, and I put it back up a little while later, there's no need for a bracha. Yeah.
Most of the time, you will check, you take down your resistance in your house, you go down and check, right? You bring the sofa, you get them back only like 2-3 days later.
Yeah, so then.
That long enough to.
No, yeah, putting back a day later, you probably do have to make a bracha in Manashach. But strictly speaking, as we'll get to Reish Tzadi Aleph, checking mezuzahs really could be a DIY project. You have to do it yourself. You don't have to be a sofer to check mezuzahs. If you bring it to the sofer, he says, come back tomorrow. So then you have to make your bracha. But if I take it down, you're not checking to see that the letters were written properly. That's the post-com point of Reish Tzadi Aleph. You're not checking to see if it was written properly. That was supposed to have been checked if you bought it from Sofa Yare Shemayim. See, he wrote it well, and he checked himself before he gave it to you to make sure everything was done properly. What you're doing with the Bedika is you're checking to see whether it's degraded over time. So you need to know this look and see, does it look like it's got waterlogged, or is it rotten, if anything's wrong? And you look through each letter. I think there are 248 letters. Look through each letter to make sure each one is still intact. But you're not making sure they're formed properly or that the right letters are there. That's the sofer took care of originally. That's why you really take it down, look carefully, take a few minutes to look patiently through the mezuzah, and you put it back up. But yeah, but if it's overnight, then already, even though you took it down to the kavanah, that's such a long hefset. That's like taking off the tzitzis for a couple of hours. Already the too long hafzik. Yeah.
What's the cutoff point for the, like, the hafzik? Like,
how long? I think poskim assume that as long as it's not over, it's the same day. For mezuzah, the same day would be considered not as I believe. Tzitzis machalok is not yeshiva. I believe that the Rabbi Schechter assumes once you're in the 45-minute range, you already have to make a new bracha on the tzitzis. I've been told, I never heard this from him, I've been told, b'shem Rabbi Willig holds 3 hours. A nafkamina for a 2-hour basketball game. Or swimming, or whatever else you might do. Without your tzitzis. Assuming you don't take, wear your tzitzis for, but no one I know wears their tzitzis for swimming. So in the pool for 2 hours, in the lake for 2 hours, that's going to be a machlokes, yeah.
Also, I understand why what the bro is adding to the Rosh, for the Rashba.
Like, the Rashba doesn't give any earlier source. The Gra says, number one, it's not just a Rishon, it's Tanan and the Tosefta. And number two, it's not something that's unique to mezuzah. This is an example of a global din of Hilchos Brachos. Yeah.
Is this if any mezuzah in your house falls? I felt like if you put up the main mezuzah by your house, then you have in mind for every other mezuzah, like, you don't need to make bracha on the rest of them.
Correct. Well, that's because, correct, so this is clarified. That did the Ramah had, that make one bracha covers all of them. What that means is, that I'm going to say one bracha, and then in quick succession, I'm going to put up 15 mezuzahs, so that one bracha, each bracha requires each Kiviyas HaMezuzah requires a bracha, but I already said the bracha. Similar to, if not the same as, if I sit down to eat an apple and a peach, and an orange, and make one ha'etz, and it covers all three. Each of them is chayav in ha'etz, they're all recovered by the single recitation of bracha. But if I'm having just an apple, I say ha'etz, and I'm having just a peach, I say ha'etz, and I'm having just an orange, I say ha'etz. Right, so here, it's true, when I originally put the mezuzah up 5 years ago, either I said the bracha on this mezuzah or on some other mezuzah now. So that's great. But now it fell down. Or now I took it down for 2 days. And now I'm putting it back up. And now it requires a new act of tefillas mezuzah, requires a new bracha.
And that time span between like the first putting up and, you know, how long you have to put up the rest of them, how long is that probably span? Is that also like 45 minutes?
I think with mezuzah poskim assume as long as the same day, it's not a hafzik. I should note that this question, whether you can compare it to talis or not, basically true is from the Devar Pashta. Of course you should compare it to talis, and you have to figure out maybe mezuzah is a different type of case. We're looking at Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he already asks sort of that core question. Maybe it's not the same as talis. He points out that the Shach early Reish Peivav does assume that it's the same as talis. Yeah, one more question, two more questions, we'll go a little further. Yeah?
So if you take down the mezuzah to see if it's kosher or not, when doing that, do you have to have like intent saying, like, if it is kosher, then I'll put it back up?
I think it's understood. I think it's understood that, you know, it's an implied kavana. Even if you, I don't think you have to. It's not like l'shem mitzvah matzah that you need to verbalize it.
Not to what point you know, like, if it's degraded or not. The mezuzah, like,
so maybe we'll get to that more. We get to Reish Tzav Yalav. But you're making sure that every letter is intact. Yeah.
How can you compare it to shchita or fruit or eating fruit? Because I don't have to eat this fruit. I don't have to shat this next animal. I don't have to total this kli. Here I have to put up this next mezuzah.
Okay, that's true. Right, so and
saying,
therefore?
I'm saying, wouldn't that make each of the actions, like, since they're necessary, would that not make a difference? I'm saying it doesn't seem the exact same thing as the other.
Why would that chiluk matter for this? You're saying because it's an absolute chiluk rather than
meaning
contingent.
Like, this is another mitzvah. I mean, it happens to be the same. Meaning we make two mitzvahs. Oh, it's not the same thing.
So let me turn around what you're saying. That's the chiluk. You're explaining what's the chiddush of the Rashba. Although the Tosefta already had said this globally, the Rashba's point was you should realize exactly, maybe it's exactly your point. The Rashba's chiddush was, don't make the mistake of thinking that the Tosefta is limited. No, it even applies to maybe. Okay, good. Yeah, that adds, that closes that gap. Let's just wrap up Se'if Aleph with one final discussion, and then we'll head down to the Beis HaMedrash, maybe just with a sense of where we're going from here. One more issue the post can raise here is, should you be saying, is there a second bracha you should be saying? Is there a second bracha you should be saying? In addition to